All right, you can continue now.
In the falls when we kill animals, we would sell things to the people worked in the mines, and they would eat parts of the hog or beef that we would eat, such as the paunch. And they loved them. And the chitlins. And things like that. They'd make soup on them. Where we, my mother made soap out of them. Those things, you know. And then there's one thing that people of today, not many have heard of. When mother would wash, she had what she called a battening block. A great big stump Daddy would put off for her off of a tree, and it'd be about that high. Then she had a huge paddle. And you know, men working in the mines got real dirty, their underwear. In the wintertime, you know, that underwear would be long underwear, and it would be hard to wash. So I've done a little bit of this. I do it once in a while. Close the door and we had that battening block, and they'd put those clothes in hot water, you know, and jostle them up and down, and then they'd bring out one pair at a time and put on that battening block, and we'd pound those, and we'd turn them over, and we'd pound them, and turn them over, and pound them. That'd be something to bring out the dirt. And that was one way of washing. But my mother was the first one in the community to have a washing machine. And it was wooden. It wasn't electric. It was hand powered. We had to turn it this way. And it had ridges down in there that the clothes, and had something that rubbed it against those ridges like a washboard. I wish we'd have kept that.
So it really an antique
it now. Would. And mother was the first one that had a sewing machine in that community too. And it was a Singer. And she would sew Daddy's bellows, you know, in the blacksmith shop. He had a huge bellows. Oh, I don't know how long. 3 feet wide or maybe 4 or 5 feet long. And we children with the pump band down. And mother would even sew those things on her sewing machine.
That must have been a strong sewing machine.
It was. It was. And she used it. I never didn't know what happened.
Do you remember what the brand name was of the washing machine? Was it Maytag or was it some other brand?
I don't remember that. He ordered it from some company. He ordered a lot of things from Louisville. I know he ordered mother a big green stove top, and it was from the Louisville Piano Stove Company. I remember that. And another thing, when I was a child, most of these things you see, these extra odd things happened in back then. We were, Daddy had built a we were living in a log cabin, but Daddy had built a house over to the side of the log cabin, and he used the downstairs for the store, and we had bedrooms upstairs, and there was a fireplace upstairs, and we raised sheep. Daddy and Mother raised sheep, and they would shear the sheep, and then they would pick the burrs out of it and wash it. And then she would spin it into thread, and then she'd weed it in. Daddy made her a loom and all kinds of wheels. She had 4 or 5 wheels. And she would spin them into thread and then weed it into the material. And she wove blankets, coverlets they were called. And I have 2 here. Some scraps of others that she made. brother moved in the house, and all these were stored upstairs, and they got moved up. But anyway, one time at our house, every night after supper, we didn't have a BB to look at or a radio to watch. We didn't have papers to look at on the serial but catalog. And so we had to make up our amusement. And the day before they went to meal, to bring the meal, we would shell the corn. And we put a blanket down on the floor. And we'd all go around that blanket and we'd put the corn and we'd shell the corn on the blanket. And then after we got the corn shell, we'd play with the cobs. We children would. And we would use our brother, Willie, for a horse. And we'd shoe him with these cobs and tickle his feet, you know, and he'd kick us across the room. Just things we'd make up our own fun. And then in the wintertime, we would sit around the fire. We had an open fireplace, and I've seen Mother cook on it some. And although she had a stove, too, in the little kitchen off the main house. And we would sit around that fire, all the children, and we would shell beans. We had a junk food. We would pick seed out of cotton, or pull burrs out of wool, or we'd shell beans. And Daddy, the wood he would cut, he'd build a fence row around in front of the fire to dry the wood out. So Mother would have dry wood for breakfast. And sometimes some of those sticks would in the fire. I remember one time I grabbed one of them and my brother went to sleep. Willie, we always played jokes on Willie. And he went to sleep and I took one of these and blew the flame out that smoke. And I stuck it under his nose. He believed that. He came out there then. And one time we were picking wool. And we were upstairs over the store. And we got tired picking that wool. That was the last sheep that Mother and Daddy ever raised. And we got tired picking those burrs and sticks on that wool. And we put a great big fleece of that wool down the chimney. Stuck it down the chimney.
That smelled good.
Well, there wasn't any fire then. But then that fall, when they built a fire, it was found.
And what you've done. Like, it sounds like you were mischievous when you were a child.
Well, we were. All of us were. We played pranks on each other. I've been teasing me about you, what was called that, called me taking back. And then one time we were planting beans, and of course, I was almost too small to enter into much of this, but I was there. And they got tired planting beans in the new ground way back up on the hill. And they poured some beans under a big rock. That tail came out on me too because the beans, some grew out from under the rock. And then Mother found out what they had done with some of the beans.
What, besides, you know, playing pranks on each other, can you remember any time when you were the cause of a child getting hurt or whether someone in your family was cause of another member being hurt? You mentioned about the foot a while ago. Was there anything else that was terrible, that was a catastrophe?
Nothing except my big toe.
What happened to your big toe?
My brother rolled a rock over it and mashed it. wasn't too bad. But we had a, I don't remember whether this man was visiting there or whether he boarded with us then. But he had, he was sitting in a stool chair, you know, a cane bottom chair, leaning back like this. And he had a bag of candy, stick candy he was eating on. And I must have been begging there. I was real close by him, begging, I think, for a piece of candy. I don't remember real well. But I don't know whether he gave me any or not, but it doesn't matter now, because when he put his chair back down, he came with all his weight, and my big toe, the very one that had been mashed before, was mashed flat. And I'll never forget how that big toe ached all night long. Maybe. I don't remember what they put on it, but Mother doctored it somewhere. And so that's what I had, a deformed toe.
I can imagine how that hurt. Getting back to your parents and how they treated you as children, were you real close to one parent more than the other?
In a way, Mother was with us all the time, Daddy wasn't. But when our father said anything, we knew to obey. I don't think my father ever struck me but one time. My sister and I were fussing over who was going to wash the dishes and which one was going to dry. And I got no lid for that. But we almost worshipped our father. And I never did think that I could ever stand to give him up, you know. And when he had anything, say in the wintertime when oranges or fruit were scarce, and if he had got a hold of one, he would peel that, and he'd give everyone that was alive of that apple. Never slighted a one. And when we had something special to eat, if one child wasn't there when the rest of them ate, he'd say, now save the child that wasn't there, save it. He always remembered it. The other children. And,
so what you remember most was that he was so fair with his children.
And we were with him. We didn't think of Mother. I know we had a wild strawberry patch on the hill, and we would pick those berries, and most children now would eat them as they pick them. But I would pick those berries. I picked the choicest ones and take them to the house. I just
wanted to do something in return for how kind he was to you.
And every time that we were in the room and he came in, we would all stand up. And we, not because he told us to, not because Mother told us to, but we were hoping he would take our chair. We would be favored if he took our chair. Just like almost a king. And
was he deeply religious?
Well, I wouldn't. He was more religious than. Yes, I would say. Another thing, when we went to the table to eat, we never sat down at that table till he came. And when he took his seat at the head of the table, then we sat there. And we waited for him to say grace. We never took a fork, never touched a thing, anything to eat until he had said grace.
But it wasn't something that you feared him, it's just that you respected him.
So I think, sometimes I think it was fear, but it was more respect, I think.
Was he a... Did he really discipline you when you had done something wrong?
All he had to do to me was look over his glasses.
But what about your brothers? Did you fear that he would do something if you did something wrong?
Yes, some of them he did. He would quit the boys once in a while. And John, very mischievous in school, and he would stick pins in the toe of his, in his toe, and stick the person that sat in front of him. And every time he told him, every time he got a whipping in school, he got one when he got home, and he did. But it seemed like we girls, we never, you know, this lady, I don't remember him ever whipping us girls.
Is your mother?
Oh, she fought us ever. She's one that talked more than she. But man, it didn't do much to him. It seemed like we reverenced him more. And then we did our mother. Mother was with us all the time. And we, and she, I don't remember her spanking me. I remember one time she tried to. We got in her daddy's love letters.
Oh.
And she chased me all the way out the top of the bank because we did that. But she didn't catch up with me.
What advice or training did your parents give you that has helped you to lead a better, fuller life?
Mostly their example. Maybe the life they lived.
Were they very devoted to each other? You remember their love, and that sort of made your life stronger and better?
Yes, it seemed like though they had to work so hard. They didn't have much time for each other. But they went to church. And they, mother always wanted to stay at home. She felt like she ought to stay at home and cook dinner and do things like that. And he would insist on church with him. And we had to walk, of course, but sometimes he had a what's called a spring wagon, you know. And then sometimes when we go to town, we would ride and we put chairs in the old big wagon. And we'd go to Williams. We'd go down Spring Lane.
Did it bother you, or not necessarily you, but did it bother your parents that you had to move from Pike County to Lawrence County? Did they hate leaving home?
Yes, they did.
But they wanted something better for their children, so they came for the education.
Mm-hmm. That's the main reason we came here.
So really they sacrificed for you.
Yes, they did. They certainly did.
As a teenager, did your parents let you socialize with boys and girls?
Not if they can help it. No. Now we, you know, I'm for so long, about 19, 14, or 15, somewhere along there. We bought this farm down, Daddy did, down below town, down where the power plant is now. And my father was strict on his children, and he wouldn't let us out much at night. Well, they decided I could adopt the farm. They rented it about 2 or 3 years, and then they decided instead of living up in Pike, they'd go down here and live. So they did, and they lived down there a few years, and then I know all the other young people would go and walk for miles to a pie supper or ice cream supper or some social event after night. Randy didn't want us to do that at all. And finally, even to go to church. And finally, we just kept insisting, and when we did, he would go right along with us and carry a lantern and walk right along by us. We had to walk on the railroad. We lived right on the railroad. And we'd have to walk on the railroad. But if I had a big dad of a boyfriend, he walked right along by me. He boyfriend on one side and the father on the other. And then,
how old were you before you got to go by yourself with your boyfriend?
I must have been 18 or more. Then, I started teaching when I was 18. And,
where was your first school?
First one I taught. Trace Branch. Almost forgot the name of it.
Where's that?
That is. Do you know where Dr. Burgess lives?
Yes.
And Lila Adams.
Yes.
Now there's a
road that goes along.
There's a point there. When you go from Burgess to the Limas. Well, this schoolhouse was right there down where the road is now. And it was a two-story. It must have been built for a lodge or something upstairs. Anyway, I talked with Miss Annie Burgess.
I know Mrs. Adams told me about that school. I interviewed her, and did she remember that school?
Well, I boarded with Miss Adams.
Did
you? Six months or so. Then I believe we just had 7 months in school. And Dr. Burgess, Jim G. And the Lamas, Miss Adams, his two older children, Harry and Lucia, schooled me. And Lucy came a little bit, she was just 5 years old. And she told me the other night at the retired teachers meeting that that I gave her a doll. And I forgot about that.
How long did you teach there?
1 year.
1 year. Mm-hmm. When you lived at was it called Potter's? Is that where the power plant is, or was it something else?
The power plant was between Fuller and Catalpa.
So you lived in between Fuller's?
In between. Catalpa was at the mouth of Blaine, and Fuller was at Fuller Branch. And you go that hill over to Ballsville. And the conductor used to say, when he'd come to these places, when he came to Fuller, he'd say Fuller Branch. When he came to Catalpa, he'd say Blaine Creek, Alpha Blaine. When he came to Buchanan, he'd say Bear Creek. I believe that's Bear Creek. And he used to do that. The conductor on the passenger trains would do that. Sometimes just for fun, you know. What was your question?
Well, I was asking, you know, where you lived, what it was called. Who was your nearest neighbors when you lived on the farm?
Potters. Potters lived below us, between us and the Blaine Creek. The father was Isaac. The old man was Isaac Potter. And he had sons, Martin and Kit and George. Then there was one that went west. I believe his name was Isaac.
So that would have been Homer Potter's grandfather. Was there any other close neighbors?
Well, the ones that lived above us were Halls. Rufus Hall. He has a son here in Louisiana.
Did you visit back and forth with your neighbors very much?
Not too much.
You were just too busy probably with farm life.
We would once in a while. We would go. We visited the Potters a little bit. George lived just across the railroad from us up the mountain below the Holiday. And we would go over there once in a while. We slipped up from our daddy mother one time when his nephew from Colorado was there. And we were sleeping on him. And we slipped off from that one over there. And we had breakfast. We tried to dance. Then we would, I remember once or twice visiting the Halls. Then right above there was Burke Branch. And we visited and she was Burke. That was Bill Burke's wife. She was Fitzpatrick. And she was a sister to Miss Smallwood's mother, Miss New, in the High Bottom. And we just loved her. We missed her. Then Mary Maynard, his mother and father, Sam Maynard lived at the boat there, and we visited the thing. Mary and I were pretty close.
When you visited Louisa, did you travel by train?
Most of the time. Sometimes if Daddy had a load to take back, he would come in the wagon. But most of the time we came on back and forth on the train.
How often did you get to come to Louisa?
I really don't remember that. Once every 2 weeks, maybe. Hardly ever once a week. Maybe once a week.
Everybody tells me it was the mud in the streets, that it was knee deep.
Well, in the winter time it was, and in the summer it was the best. And, but just the houses amazed me. Of course, I was a pretty good girl, pretty large when we were down there, about 13, I think, when I had been there, you see. And I don't remember ever drinking a Coke until after I started teaching. Into Adkins and Vaughn's drugstore, you know where it was. And I'll never forget it, sitting at those little tables with those antique chairs. They're antique now. And drinking a first Coke. And the floor, it was a small mosaic